studies, Pilly recently introduced her to grammar like the verbs fetch, paw, or nose. So far, she continues to astound even the skeptics with her amazing abilities. Researchers are confident of one thing. Pilly is not cueing Chaser or using body language to help her find the right toy. The experiments conducted so far have been designed to eliminate that possibility. Apparently, Chaser is such an avid learner that 4 to 5 hours of training each day isn't enough. In his 80s now, Pilly says he sometimes has to go to bed just to get away from her. If anything, she's shown us what a conversation with other species might look like, and it makes you wonder what else nature might have to say if we only take the time to listen. Learn more at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is recorded on the campus of California State University, San Bernardino, and produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy, because Earth is an island.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here for our home and auto insurance ELP, Chad Spade with Benefit Source Insurance. You work hard for your money, and Chad can help you keep it. If you've had the same auto and home insurance for more than a couple of years, you could be paying too much. Chad and his team will look at your current insurance and use their network of providers to find better coverage and a better deal for you. Come on, folks. It's free and it's simple, and it could save you a whole lot of time and money. Chad is an independent insurance agent who works for you, not the insurance company. That's why many of our listeners are able to save several hundred dollars by working with our ELPs. Call Chad today at 877-215-5431 for better, more affordable home and auto insurance. That's Chad Spade with Benefit Source Insurance at 877-215-5431. You can also visit their website at insuranceminded.net. Contact Chad and his team today.
Hi, this is Bob with Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. Tune in every Thursday afternoon from 3 until 4 at KCAA Radio 1050, and we will be there to answer your real estate questions, the latest real estate news, and to talk to the leaders of the real estate industry. Our Real Estate Talk, you can find out how to stop your foreclosure, first-time homebuyer information, loan modifications, different kinds of loans you can buy with, short sale strategies, and real estate investing and more. So don't forget, tune in every Thursday afternoon at 3 for Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. You'll be glad you did.
A deadly new virus is found to be real squiggly. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. Doctors at UCLA announced the stunning discovery that the deadly coelathoxin virus is real squiggly-like. Head researcher Andover Hausen.
Now that we understand the virus's squiggly nature, we're in a better position to assess its other characteristics, such as its overall wiggliness.
Doctors don't yet know if the deadly virus is sticky, smushy, or how blobby it is.
Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News. Pick up the Onion at your newsstand or visit theonion.com.
The following is an attorney advertisement.
Low T. They say it's just a number, but were you informed of all the risks? Recent studies have shown an increased risk of heart attack, stroke, or death while on prescription testosterone. If you've suffered a heart attack or stroke while taking prescription testosterone, including gels and patches, you may be eligible for money damages. Call Gerard Gibbs now. 800-308-8298. 800-308-8298. The FDA is investigating medically prescribed testosterone. Recent evidence suggests men on prescription testosterone medication may be at risk. Did you suffer a stroke or heart attack during or immediately after taking prescription testosterone? You may be eligible for money damages. Call Gerard Gibbs now. 800-308-8298. 800-308-8298. 800-308-8298.
San Bernardino, Loma Linda, Rialto listens to KCAA Radio.
And welcome, Constitution Radio with Douglas Fee Gibbs. It is time. It's another Saturday, April 19th, 2014. How you doing, Alex?
Just ducky.
Just ducky. All right. And I got Mobley next to me. Mr. Mobley?
I am doing awesome.
You're doing awesome. And, of course, we've got Joe behind the glass, making sure all of the dials and music and everything else works. But this is just another guest to you. It's a big guest to me, but it's just another guest to you because you have no clue who we are going to be having on the show today, Mr. Matt Kibbe. You have no clue who he is, right?
You just assume, right?
Yeah, because I know you.
Yeah, you're right.
But see, this is why I love having Joe as my engineer, because I am so politically in tune, I sometimes forget that the rest of my my audience is not always where I'm at.
The common man.
Yeah, so it's like when we had Karen Moreau on the show, and we just started talking about fracking, and then, you know, I see this raised hand in the engineer booth. What's fracking?
That was the other Joe.
That was the other Joe, yeah. Too many Joes to remember.
Let's be clear.
did you know what fracking was?
It has something to do with oil.
Yeah, and it had something to do with it. But anyway, I bring that up because, this show has, when I first conceived this show, I wanted it to be very instructional, and usually it is. Sometimes it isn't. anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Douglas V. Gibbs. I am a constitutionalist. I teach Constitution class in Temecula every Thursday night. Last Thursday, for the first time, the second time in 6 years, I didn't show up because I was flat on my back. Had some injuries a few weeks ago, and so it's been a rough week. But I'm in the chair, partially due to Mr. Mobley. But I wanted to, before we brought Mr. Kibbe on, I wanted to address something. The Nevada showdown, the rancher and all that, it's interesting. I had this conversation with a gentleman earlier today who is very near and dear to my heart and also not of the same political persuasion as I am, and he's come under fire because he supports the rancher. Now, mind you, he would go by, the label of liberal or whatever, but he supports the rancher because, in his opinion, the federal government shouldn't even be doing such a thing. And I explained to him, that the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, is unconstitutional. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives the federal government that kind of authority. And Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 explains that if there's going to be any possession of land for the federal government, there needs to be state legislatural approval. There needs to be payment, and it needs to be for needful buildings, and so on and so forth. He says, "Well, Doug, the problem is not only do people not understand this, but how do we get the federal government to stop doing this?" Well, this is the reason why I've had Mr. Mobley with me so much, is because one of the things that we've been working on, one of the things that we're pushing, the direction that we want to go in, is the Republic Review, a convention, a state convention, to hold the federal government accountable, to audit the federal government. We're not talking an Article 5 convention per se, although that I think that's a very good tool as well. But something that's holds them accountable. And anyway, the reason why I brought up this in the first place is because the topic that Matt Kibbe was going to come on to talk about, best-selling author Matt Kibbe, president and CEO of FreedomWorks, is this little label right here, and I'll let him capitalize on what it means. Warning, don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. Mr. Kibbe, that is kind of interesting because we scheduled this kind of before the Nevada thing. Wow, how coincidental is that?
Unfortunately, it's predictive, right? You have government bureaucrats with all of this discretion and all of this power, and they abuse it, and you can predict it because it's always been the same throughout history. You're seeing it at the IRS, you're seeing it at HHS and NSA, and now you're seeing it at BLM.
Yeah, if anything, they are predictable. That is true. There's other folks that are political animals like we are, and they call this stuff before it happens. How did you I've done the same thing. How did you know? They are. They're very predictable because they do the same thing regardless of if it's today's American liberal or the socialists in other countries and so on and so forth. Now, you coming on the show, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you. Now, you're more Mr. Mobley, you're kind of more familiar with his work than I am on the book. You wanted to ask him about his book?
Yeah, so your book has been out for, almost a year now?
No, this book came out April 1st.
Oh, April 1st.
Well, we have a new one.
Were you talking about it beforehand?
I've been using this phrase to translate all 700 pages of Adam Smith into one sentence. I used it originally to explain the difference between the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street, because we don't hurt people and we don't take their stuff.
Right, because you're commonly on Stossel, and you were on, I believe, Bill O'Reilly this week when he was asking you about pot and the regulations and laws and so forth on that. So I thought I'd heard you talking about this, and I know that you've actually brought up Adam Smith several times, as a matter of fact, on Stossel. I always Stossel myself whenever I can.
Now, let me stop us there for a second for the average listener like Joe. Adam Smith, we're going all the way back to the revolutionary times, folks, over 200 years ago. Adam Smith was really the father of capitalism, in my opinion, with his writings and so on and so forth, a free market system and all that. Very influential on the founders' writings and what they did and what they believed. But anyway, continue on, Mr. Mobley.
Oh, I just wanted to find out how long your book had been out, because I had actually been trying to find any types of reviews and so forth out there. And I thought it had been out for a year, but I couldn't, other than what's, you know, the little bit that's trickled in on Amazon.
Yeah. Now from what I've got here is don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. And your book's timing is absolutely incredible with this Nevada rancher thing. Is a manifesto for the modern freedom movement that sounds a clarion call to those who value liberty over oppression, principles over political expedience. Wow, it sounds like the Constitution kind of means something to you. It was constitutional principles. Was that in addition to Adam Smith, a huge influence on the book?
Very, very much so, and I talk about the Bill of Rights, particularly the Fourth and Fifth Amendments. But you know, the bottom line for all of us, if you believe in liberty, and maybe you've studied constitutional law, or maybe I'm an economist by training, mm-hmm. so I have a slightly different perspective. But you know, liberty and libertarianism and constitutional conservatism, all of these things tend to be loaded with jargon and acronyms and charts and graphs, and I really wanted to boil down liberty to its essence,
right?
So that people that weren't already in tune with where we're coming from, they would nod their head and say, yeah, you shouldn't hurt people, you shouldn't take their stuff, you should take responsibility for your own actions. These are not new concepts. They're not new with me, but I really wanted to boil it down.
Right. Now you mentioned the Fourth Amendment, which for those of you who are not familiar with it, that's where the legal search and seizure, you know, type stuff comes into play, folks. And you know, when you were writing this, did the internet come to mind? Because there's a lot of questions about, well, the founding fathers didn't know the internet's coming. And it's like I explained to people, it doesn't matter how the federal government does it; they're not supposed to illegally search and seize your possessions, be it physical or online. Did that come to mind at all, and do you address that in the book?
Yeah, very much so. And I think the thing that has changed everything, and I think in a very positive way, is the way that the internet decentralizes knowledge. It decentralizes information and makes it easier for people to connect with each other. That more than anything, explains the rise of the Tea Party. It explains the rise of the broader liberty movement. It also happens to be the vehicle for really granular intrusions on your life by the federal government, and you're seeing that with the NSA scooping up of phone metadata right now. FreedomWorks, my organization, actually joined with Senator Rand Paul in his Fourth Amendment challenge to Barack Obama and the NSA. I think we did that about a month and a half ago. And already you're seeing Barack Obama. It's funny, he rediscovered the difference between the legislative and the executive branch suddenly, brand new. He said, you know what, I need the legislative authority to stop doing something that I never had the legislative authority to do in the first place, which is take all of your phone data despite any evidence that you've committed a crime. In other words, you're now guilty until proven innocent, and that's a complete inversion of American justice.
Apparently, he doesn't understand the version of Article 1, Section 1 that was given to us. You mentioned case law earlier, and I'm a constitutionalist. I actually teach classes on the Constitution and have writings out there about the Constitution and so forth. But my constitutional viewpoint is from an originalist point of view. I learned my Constitution based on Madison's notes, and the various writings by the different founding fathers, and some of them from the Federalist Papers, although all of them can't be trusted because of Alexander Hamilton. But But yet what we've got in our society is a viewpoint that's based on case law, that's based on the opinions of judges, where we have a judiciary that thinks it is the rule of law, that they are somehow above the law and that it's up to them to make the determinations of what is constitutional, what isn't. How do we combat that? I mean, I'm a solution-oriented guy. I'm always looking for solutions. What is your feelings on how do we combat the fact that it's been drilled into our skulls that oligarchy is the way to go? And I mean, from the time we're little kids all the way to through our adult years with the entertainment industry stuff, we're taught all of this stuff about case law and a liberal interpretation of the Constitution rather than the original intent. How do we combat that?
I think, this is another theme in the book, because you do have this erosion of the rules going back to the founding principles, and now everything is the rule of man. It's very arbitrary. It might be
right.
The president. It might be some gray-suited bureaucrat that you'll never know the name of. The only solution to this today, and I'm kind of a broken record on this, I think the way we combat the inevitable growth of big government is to organize. And the left has always been very good at community organizing, and we were very good at reading books. And we, with the confidence that we had was that good ideas would win in the long run. Well, we know that's not true. We know that's not how politics and political decision-making works. So the answer has to be to get educated and to get organized. And I'm not asking people to do extraordinary things, because people, particularly people that tend to agree with the idea of property rights and rule of law, they have jobs, they have families, they have responsibilities. They'd rather not worry about the government. They'd want to be left alone. But I think you're seeing today, with Facebook and Twitter and talk radio and all of these various decentralized means we have to get around the one-size-fits-all information that comes from the New York Times and the old three networks. I call it old stream media. That's the future.
Right.
Is in our hands, but we got to take that responsibility.
Well, and the rule of law, it's in our hands. I mean, the Constitution's only ink and paper if we're not fighting for it, if we're not defending it. And as I told my class just recently, when you abandon the rule of law, it doesn't take very long before you're dancing around a golden calf.
Yeah, and that's, the scary thing is, and I always thought this was part of our strategy. How many times did you always hear someone say, you know what, we need to find another Ronald Reagan? And it was always a flawed strategy, because politics can corrupt anybody.
Right.
And I think what you're seeing today, and I happen to think there's a lot of principal leaders that we helped elect in 2010 and 2012. I interview Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, for instance, in my new book. But they only exist because a constituency organized outside the Beltway and enabled them to do an end run around the GOP establishment.
Yeah,
and also, by the way, that same community keeps them honest.
Right, right. Now you mentioned organizing.
It's very interesting, because that's what we've been talking about.
Mr. Mobley and
Doug
I
up. Was on our way up here to the show, because Doug thinks it's and I'm not disagreeing that it's important that everybody become educated and understand our founding principles, the principles of liberty and so forth. But I think it's more important to get those who we elect to represent us to understand those principles. When I say those that represent us, I don't mean in the hallowed halls of Mordor on the Potomac. I mean those in the city council, the mayors, the sheriffs, the water board, or municipal utilities, and so forth. Anybody that has to raise their arm to the square means that they've taken an oath to defend what we hold precious and dear, that Constitution, and to protect it. And I think it's really important that they start understanding these principles and the Constitution that was originally given to us, because as soon as they do, I think they'll start standing up and going, hey, these are huge violations of the Constitution or this contract that the state ratified back in 89.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, and you know me well enough, you know, I'm all about being instructional. I have the Constitution class in Temecula. Mm-hmm. Got a new one starting up at Corona starting in May. You know, my shows and on online and this show and so forth are all instructional. My Constitution Association, which is a Tea Party style group, but it's not really a Tea Party. It's all about being instructional. But that group also is about organizing, finding solutions, and being active. I do believe that the best way to turn this around is we begin locally. We start turning around our local politics. The rest of it will follow. But I want to ask Mr. Kibbe more to go deeper into this idea of organizing for a solution, and also your thoughts on this after the break. We're up against a break, and then when we come back, we're going to continue this this thought line that we have going on here. So don't go anywhere, everybody. We'll be right back.
KCAA.
It'd be nice if I had my live readout. Okay, here we go. Oh, boy. I'm ready to take a break, you know. The first ad is a live read, so hello, everybody. It's me again. The true patriots of All-Star Collision have been proudly serving the Inland Empire for over 20 years, built on honesty, integrity, quality, and old-fashioned customer service. We offer lifetime warranties for our work, and every vehicle serviced by All-Star Collision is washed, detailed, headlights polished, fluids are checked and topped off, safety checked, and returned in showroom condition. We offer free estimates, are approved by major insurance companies, and accept all claims for all cars and trucks. We use computerized frame straightening to factory specifications, offer fiberglass body repair and paint, free local pickup and delivery, and after-hours towing. Mention this radio program at drop-off and receive up to $100 off or a free rental car for up to 5 days during your repair. Visit them at allstarci.com. That's allstar, the letter C, the letter I.com. You can find them at 522 Railroad Street in Corona, 951-279-9161. We are the kings of wreck and roll. And before you continue on, Mr. Engineer, let me add this. These are also the folks that are going to be hosting the new Constitution class on Tuesdays in Corona. And so pay them a visit. Thank them for being patriots. Fantastic company. All right.
What's your constitutional IQ? Your quest to learn the Constitution can be fun for the whole family. Learn about the Constitution as you play the Constitution Quest board game. Learn more at ConstitutionQuest.com.
Tired of political ideology on the radio? Douglas V. Gibbs is the classical centrist on KCAA, AM 1050.
With the rise of fiat currency and collapsing currencies, a safe haven asset is out there. For the last 5,000 years, gold has been your best insurance to empower yourself and your future. You can acquire embedded gold cards that can enable you to use gold as an investment in everyday trade transactions or as an insurance for the future. Gold is the oldest, most reliable, and unchangeable payment method in the history of the world. The opportunity is incredible because gold is real money and currency is not. Gold will survive when currency cannot. Learn more by going to $1.com. That's $1, S-E-N-S-E, the number $1.com, and contacting your local team member at 909-657-0091 so that you can learn how to become a partner and have the opportunity to get your gold for free. Visit $1.com and call your local team member today at 909-657-0091 so that you may become a partner.
Your voice, your opinions, heard round the world at www.kcaaradio.com. The station that leaves no listener behind, AM 1050, KCAA.
Yeah, welcome back, Douglas V. Gibbs, Constitution Radio. That's why I love live radio. You never know what's going to happen. You know, it's funny. The engineer says, now, this live read's going to come up real quick. Oh, yeah, no problem. But anyway, you know, we were talking during the break also, and one of
have we claimed to be professional?
Well, I sometimes pretend I am. I know my Constitution, but apparently I don't know my live reads. But anyway, no, we were just kind of talking about different things off the air, and I said something I've said a number of times. When people all understand the truth, they come to the same conclusion. The truth has no agenda. Before we get back to Mr. Kibbe, please, Alex, say what you were on the air. What were you talking about?
Well, I was just looking through my essays here back from when I had my TV show. And one of the essays talks about the unified theory of toxic isms. And what that boils down to is just what this gentleman is saying. They want to kill us and take all our stuff. That's what it comes to.
Hence the name of the book, Don't Hurt People and Don't Take Their Stuff.
And they'd never admit it either.
Well, of course they wouldn't. And it's done by creeping incrementalism, because if you knew what they were really up to, you'd never put them in office. Now, Mr. Kibbe, welcome back. Thanks for being on the program with us. We need to organize. And, you know, Mr. Mobley's talking about organizing in a way through our states and local government and all that. When you talk about organizing, are we talking just through the Tea Party, or is there something else you have in mind, Mr. Kibbe?
No, I think it's much broader than the Tea Party, and we consider ourselves a service center to any citizen that wants to get more involved, and that includes educational materials, but it also includes everything to get out the vote. I think it's smart to organize at the local level. I think social media is a key to this for busy people. I know moms with bigger Facebook pages than the county GOPs in their communities, and that is a paradigm shift. It's not going back to the way it was before, because people have an ability to know what's going on, and it could be a county council meeting, it could be a school board meeting, or it could be a Senate floor debate in Washington, D.C., but I think the key is to take responsibility, create a division of labor. Some people want to do some stuff. Other people want to do other stuff. It doesn't mean that you can't organize in common cause when the opportunity arises. For our side, you know, we have jobs. We're not like the big unions who get paid to do this. We have to do it in a way that respects people's individual choices about what they care about, but also they're busy people. I like the idea of organizing on Facebook, because people can kind of pick and choose when they can or want to get involved.
Well, and there's great organizations like Freedom Works, which you're president of. That, you know, they're active, they're involved. But there's other organizations out there, Tea Party Caucus, My Constitution Association, so on and so forth. A lot of these small organizations, number one, nobody knows they exist, or few people know they exist, except for who's local. Number two, we're all like these separate puzzle pieces that need to come together. How do we get all these different groups to organize into a single structure and work together?
You know, I actually consider Freedom Works more of an association of many thousands of local organizations, and they don't give up their local identity. But what we've tried to do is provide tools that help them do what they want to do, and that includes some basic training on constitutional principles, some basic training on economics. It includes training on basics of grassroots organizing. You know, unfortunately, we live in a country today where community organizing is a dirty word because of our president. But we were the original community organizers. Individuals come together in voluntary association and do that. You know, one of the nice things about connecting with Freedom Works is you're free to find other people in our community to recruit for your organizations, and as long as everybody agrees on the principles and the project, I think more is better. I think decentralization is better.
Well, let me ask you this. How can somebody approach Freedom Works if they wanted to get organized?
Well, one of the tools we have is something called Freedom Connector, and Freedom Connector is basically, this is oversimplified, but it's basically Facebook with a Google Maps function. So you can literally join, type in your address, and suddenly discover neighbors around you that you didn't know agreed with you, who had already gotten active as well. There's about a quarter of a million super activists on that platform, and each one of those super activists probably has a network of their own, which is much bigger than that. I think that's how we cut the middleman out, because if you if you call me up and say, hey, I want to get connected with people in California, I become the bottleneck. But what I'm saying is do it for yourself, and Freedom Connector is a great place to start there.
Okay. Are there other – you were talking about training and other opportunities that FreedomWorks actually brings to the table.
Yes, and one of the things we've been able to do a lot of is live streaming, and most of what we do is based on customer demand. The great thing about our email list, the great thing about social media is you can get instantaneous feedback from tens of thousands of people in real time. And if people ask for instance, we're doing a lot of training in Alaska right now. It's very difficult for people to get together, particularly on a statewide basis. So we're doing it through a live stream. And just various different things like that based on what people want to do. We get involved primarily in federal races right now just because we don't have the local knowledge to know who the right candidates are at the local level. But that's another thing. If there's a battle, congressional or Senate in your state, and you want to get involved, sometimes we can provide resources through our super PAC.
So for the activist that wants to get some training on the Constitution, those types of things, would they just connect with you via Facebook first, or is there – I know you have a web page, and there's employment opportunities on your website and your mission and your core principal officers and so forth, but – is that the best way to – if somebody wants to get into a grassroots or, like you said, even, whether it be a federal or a local type of campaign, would that be the best way, or Facebook?
You know, I think both Facebook, and if you go to our website, you can sort of opt in to various things that you want to get information on. So we're not going to spam you with emails if it's not something you don't want. There is a curriculum called Freedom U, and this is a fairly new project for us. But one of the courses you can take, and this is introductory stuff, is from Judge Napolitano on constitutional principles, and it's not going to be as in depth as what you probably provide your community. But it's a good start, and you know, I think the best thing to do is to shop around FreedomWorks, and you get all sorts of opportunities to sign up for things and specify what it is you do and don't want to hear about or do. And we're getting better at helping millions, because we have about 6 million people on our network right now, and as you can imagine, the biggest challenge is helping all of them.
Well, it's hard to get the word out there. I mean, locally, I do kind of what you all are doing. I have a Constitution class I host once a week in Temecula. Another one I'm getting ready to start hosting in Corona. You know, I've got my content that I'm creating. Got a book out called The 25 Myths Constitution. It's all about, you know, being instructional. And, you know, one of the accusations I get is, well, Doug, you're preaching to the choir. And I said, yeah, but what good is a choir if they don't know how to sing, if they don't know the words of songs they're singing? But, you know, the difficulty for a smaller group like mine, of course, Constitution Association, is accessing the technology to be able to do things online and all that, so everything's done on a local basis. So I congratulate FreedomWorks. You guys are definitely taking leaps ahead. When you talked about Judge Napolitano, what he's doing for you guys, and they're both looking at me. I said, well, hey, he probably reads Political Pistachio on my website. Got the idea from me. No, I joke around all the time. I have people come to me and say, hey, Doug, Rush was just talking about something you were talking about 2 days ago. Ah, he reads Political Pistachio. But I wanted to thank you for being on. Did you, either one of you gentlemen, have any more questions for Mr. Kibbe before we send him along his way?
I just had an odd thing that goes through my mind once in a while, and that is when presented with a ballot, we have judges that are up for election or reelection, and we don't know anything about them. And I'm wondering if there is an organization that evaluates judges according, because why even bother to vote if you don't know who this person is and what they're up to? But is there an organization that we could plug into that would be able to supply that information to us?
You know, I don't think there is, particularly at the local and county level. I think it's probably a project that we could take on as a broad community if it's something people want to do locally. We've started doing it with federal judges. We literally started in January, so we're just getting started. But it's for all the reasons we've been talking about. It's so important to know who these folks are, to know what their histories are, to know what their decisions are, so that you can, in fact, make informed decisions. It's one of the more mysterious things that voters do when they go to the ballot box, because nobody knows very much.
You know, Alex, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a task also that our local group here, Constitution Association, can start tackling. That's a thing. We all need to be working together, organizing and all that. And
seems so fundamental, you know.
It does seem fundamental. It absolutely does. Mobley, do you have anything else for Mr. Kibbe?
No, I have a fond respect for all that you do and your organization. I completely am on board with Austrian economics. I think that the free market, and truly a free market, is what can heal a lot of our problems. But I would like to, just put a plug in that what I'm hoping to do is hoping to influence enough of our representatives that actually work at the state level to get the states together to basically convene a convention to audit our Constitution and our federal government, to realign them, because it's very tiresome for myself when people ask me, well, what about the Department of Transportation? They look constitutional. I go, well, Madison said that you had to amend the Constitution to have a Department of Transportation in
1819, yeah.
In paraphrasing what he said in the 1817 veto. But anywho,
right.
I do understand that FreedomWorks is an integral partner with grassroots movements and so forth. And so who knows? Maybe our paths will cross in the near future.
And yeah, I look forward to it. Thank you.
And finally, sir, thanks for your book, Don't Hurt People and Don't Take Their Stuff. Hopefully it does really well. And FreedomWorks is a fantastic organization, and we're glad that you guys are on our side because the thing we have to understand is, I think a lot of people don't understand this, is the opposition that we are up against. This is not some simple disagreement. They see this as a war, and their efforts are to silence us, ultimately to silence us and take away our stuff, as Alex would say. We've got to battle it. And as I said earlier, the Constitution is only ink and paper if we're not willing to defend it, if we're not willing to fight for it. And I think I have a funny feeling you think exactly the same.
I think we're on the same page, and I hope everybody gets involved. My book did make the New York Times bestseller list this week. So
all right.
Somebody's paying attention.
Congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations. All right. Thank you for the time, Mr. Kibbe. It's been a pleasure having you on. I look forward to the future of having you on. I'm sure we'll have another opportunity.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks. Freedom Works. Freedom Works for America. Now, before we get into book of the week, that's the book of the week, by the way, and we're going to make the book of the week "Don't Hurt People and Don't Take Their Stuff" by Matt Kibbe. But before we get to the Constitution question of the week, I wanted to bring back a segment that I used to have on the program, and it was hard to keep it on the program because of time restraints and so on and so forth. We really need to go to 2 hours, and we'll work it towards that goal. But I did want to bring back Constitution Corner, where I take something from the Constitution, and we discuss it, and I think this is – and really the owner of the station actually wished I had talked about this last week – and in relation to what happened in Nevada. So let's bring this up. This is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. I'm going to read it for you, and then we'll have a quick discussion about it. We'll probably have to wrap up that discussion after the break. Now, understand that Article 1, Section 8 is the enumerated powers to Congress, and so all of them, even though they begin with the word "to," all of them really say the Congress shall have power to. So I'm going to start it that way. The Congress shall have power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 square miles as may. Now, let me stop there for a second. That's Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia that's directly referencing. By cession of particular states and acceptance of Congress become the seat of government of the United States. To become the seat of government, I want you to understand that originally Washington, D.C. was not supposed to be – some residential city. It was supposed to be a commercial center and the seat of government, and that's it. You know, be that as it may. And to exercise like authority, so same authority, over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state, in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. In other words, federal property needs to be A, purchased, B, approved by state legislatures, and C, for the purpose of needful buildings. Now let's go back to our friend, the Nevada rancher, who was told he couldn't have his cattle grazing on property because of the federal regulatory and ownership powers over that, over a tortoise. Now, I was, someone had said, well, Doug, Nevada relinquished that in their state constitution, sent me a copy of that. I looked through that whole thing. I did not find anything where Nevada relinquishes that. A, that land was not properly purchased. A, B, there was no state legislative approval. And C, it's not for needful buildings. They're claiming it's for a giant tortoise, which they're killing themselves to control the population. Now, the argument goes to, Now, the argument goes to, well, yeah, but Doug, the federal government already had that land before Nevada became a state. Well, the Congress can have congressional powers over the land, over a territory prior to that becoming a state. But once it becomes a state, that state now enters into the contract and is no different than one of the original 13. They come in with all of the every bit of what each of the original 13 states came in with.
The full force of the contract. But I think you're in a hard break right now.
No, I'm not. It's not a hard break. It's a soft break.
Okay,
but,
soft break.
Yeah,
okay.
It's, yeah, the hard break's at the top of the
hour.
Well,
I was just going to add some stuff.
But you know what? You're right. So let's have Mr. Mobley add some stuff right after we come back. Don't go anywhere.
K-C-A-A.
Hey, this is Doug from Constitution Radio. How do you feel about the economy right now? Are you concerned about the United States being over $17 trillion in debt? How do you think it will affect you? What are you doing to protect your assets? Some people have found a way to capitalize on these conditions and receive an early retirement, regardless of their age. Sound interesting? Call 909-657-0091 and ask for Bob. That's 909-657-0091 for your chance at an early retirement.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Our records indicate you've been lied to. Welcome to the truth. Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA 1050 AM.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
The true patriots of All-Star Collision have been proudly serving the Inland Empire for over 20 years. Built on honesty, integrity, quality, and old-fashioned customer service, we offer lifetime warranties for our work, and every vehicle serviced by All-Star Collision is washed, detailed, headlights polished, fluids are checked and topped off, safety checked, and returned in showroom condition. We offer free estimates, are approved by major insurance companies, and accept all claims for all cars and trucks. We use computerized frame straightening to factory specifications, offer fiberless body repair and paint, free local pickup and delivery, and after-hours towing. Mention this radio program at drop-off and receive up to $100 off or a free rental car for up to 5 days during your repair. Visit us at allstarci.com, 522 Railroad Street in Corona, 951-279-9161. We are the kings of wreck and roll. The Murrieta Temecula Republican Assembly is the largest chapter of the California Republican Assembly. The MTRA meets the first Friday of every month at 6 p.m. at the Temecula City Hall Conference Center, 41,000 Main Street, Temecula, California. Learn more at mt-ra.com. We are the conscience of the Republican Party.
For the record, hell, we are the record. KCAA. The Inland Talk Express.
And welcome back, Constitution Radio, Douglas V. Gibbs. I'm feeling pretty good about today's show. Are you feeling pretty good about today's show, Alex?
I'm very impressed with the quality of guests that we've been getting.
I don't know. Someone says, hey, Doug, did you notice that your quality of guests went up right after your book came out? So, maybe there's a... yeah, correlation there. Now, you wanted to add something, Mr. Mobley, to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, what I was talking about.
Yeah, and going back to – we've talked about this before, and we just brought it up with the veto of the bonus or the infrastructure bill with Madison in 1817, that clearly if the federal government is supposed to have these roles, responsibilities, or powers, they have to be enumerated and they have to be granted by the Republic. And I'm okay with the federal government having any types of powers as long as the Republic has authorized that via the Article 5 process. However, I'm looking through, you know, a pile of papers, and I can't find that amendment to the Constitution that provided the federal government to be able to come in and just grab land for tortoises.
Well, that's because it doesn't exist. And the thing is, you know, there is the eminent domain.
So I'll stop looking now.
Yeah. There is jeez. Wow. It amazes me because basically the federal government believes that they are what the central governments were in Europe. You know, all powerful. You know, everybody else is just, you know, just mind, just listen, whatever. And, you know, in the Fifth Amendment, there is the eminent domain there at the end and just compensation, all that. And this is their way of getting around that. You know, why pay anybody for something when you can just regulate it and then tell them what they can and can't do with their property? Ultimately, that's what started it. I mean, you know, you've got this kind of blue lining going on across this nation. In Murrieta, the Los Alamos Hills homes have gotten to the point because for environmental reasons that they can't even put a shed on their own property. We've seen this across the board, different things. Calvary Chapel, Murrieta, same thing. They're in a lawsuit right now.
So to keep in mind, Murrieta can do this. The state can do this.
Right.
Okay. We're just talking about a different entity.
But the thing is, what is behind what those city states are doing? This is all about federal funding.
Understand.
It's all federal influenced.
So I do understand. However, to elucidate those little outcroppings called forts and national defenses and buildings, those were well within the scope of the few things that the federal government or the general government, as Madison called it, was defined to execute, and that was to create national defenses to protect the colonies, or at this point in time, the states, and as well as the necessary and proper types of buildings, such as, let's say, a mint for coining of money. They had to have a building so they could buy the land and erect a building to coin money.
Mr. Jasmius, how's the weather in Washington state, that is?
The sun just came out, actually.
That happens in the state of Washington?
Well, it hadn't for like all week.
So they've repented.
Just the moment you asked that question, the sun came out.
So the Northwesterners have repented and have had the sins washed away so that the sun can shine again.
No, it's just that a Southern California host got on the phone with him and that little bit of California pushed through.
You are the sunshine of my life.
All right, Constitution Quest. Yeah?
You guys are having way too much fun, and I don't even see a Dr. Pepper IV drip.
Yeah, you know, this morning I was talking to Jim, and he says, "Hey, Doug, you're not your usual full throttle self." I said, "Oh man, I'm not feeling good. I feel like I've been hit by a truck." Well, that's right, I was. Anyway, Constitution Quest question of the week, ConstitutionQuest.com. This comes off of one of the game cards from the board game, and Mr. Mobley knows this for a fact because he watched me pull the board game card out and decide whether or not it was good enough for this. Well, they all are, but good enough for today's show. And I was telling him, and this is your hint, by the way, folks. This really should have been the question of the week last week when we had Dr. King on the program. The 24th Amendment states that A, only non-citizens need to pay a tax to vote. B, only citizens making $250,000 a year need to pay a tax to vote. C, citizens need not pay a tax to vote. Mr. Joe...
What was A?
Were you even paying attention?
Yeah, I was. Sure, I was.
Yeah. The 24th Amendment of the Constitution.
Well, I got the question.
Okay. A, only non-citizens need to pay a tax to vote.
Okay.
B, only citizens making $250,000 per year need to pay a tax to vote. Or C, citizens need not pay a tax to vote.
Just C.
You think it's C, Alex?
After all these tricky questions, can you come up with this thing?
Yeah, this easy one. Yeah.
talk about a C. Yeah, that sounds like C to me.
Well, you know, everyone, I don't know what I'm working with here. I mean, it could have thrown him for a loop or you.
But what if you have your own poll?
Then you would then be a Polish nation.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were going to avoid that kind of content.
I've got Polish running through my veins.
So you're allowed?
Yeah, so I'm allowed. We're
playing on the poll tax with this.
Yeah, no, actually, we had fun earlier today, but I'll tell you in a second. Jasmius, are you going to go with the crowd?
Yes, yeah, see.
Yeah, citizens need not pay a tax to vote. And, of course, this is over the poll taxes that were basically the attempt to keep blacks from being able to vote out of affordability. What's interesting is the Constitution already disallows poll taxes against the federal government, but it didn't against the states. This takes care of the states. In Article 1, Section 9, says no capitation, which are head taxes, which is a poll tax.
Right.
And so it was already addressed. Founding Fathers knew what this stuff was, but you know, the states were not.
Well, they went through taxation to the minute detail.
Sure. Well, and when we call excises and duties and all that, they're not just throwing out a bunch of synonyms. They all have their own significant meanings. But anyway, I did want to bring this up before we start going through the five big stories, which Jasmius went through earlier on American Daily Review. I was just not in good shape to take care of it, but to be on the air, so I wasn't. But something that was said earlier was cracking me up because, you know, because of our conservative nature, we're all called racist quite often. My wife's Mexican, Mr. Mobley's is black, and Alex's is Japanese. Yeah, we're a bunch of racists sitting in here. But anyway, I just thought that was hilarious. So when you guys
in a marital sense, I'm the one wearing the white hood.
Something like that. I love it when I'm talking about the immigration issue and I'm accused of being, you know, prejudiced against Latinas and Latinos and Hispanics or whatever word you want to use. I just call them Americans too. But
I'm German too. So yeah, that's two strikes.
Oh, jeez.
We've kind of gone from the sublime to the ridiculous. You take the heroes that threw out the idea of a poll tax, and then you got Eric Holder saying that we can't even ask for a photo ID.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just the one is so clearly.
Well, I mean, it goes even deeper than that. I mean, you got the Voter Act, and that was really pointed towards the southern states, and in its own right, it's unconstitutional because it singles out the southern states to the point that in Murrieta, when I ran for city council, I was not allowed to put that I was a Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, constitutionalist, nothing. It's totally nonpartisan in that city, right? Well, a city in North Carolina wanted to do the same thing, and it wound up going to court, and the judge said they could not because of the Voting Rights Act. And the judge, and I kid you not, said, well, if it doesn't say Republican or Democrat on the ballot, blacks won't know who to vote for. I mean, that's how ridiculous it's gotten.
And, they actually mentioned Republican?
Well, I think so. But anyway, five big stories. 5, 4, and 3 we'll do a brief mention of, and then the last two we'll spend a little more time on. Bundy Ranch. Aftermath. I actually spent a little time with that on the Constitution Corner, but I did want you to bring up the rotating shifts. So we're going to make sure the federal government isn't coming back, right, Jasmine?
Yeah, they're actually in fact, it's retired veterans that are being recruited to come and maintain standing guard against the return of the Bureau of Land Management. They do have rotating shifts.
We got to fix this Skype.
12-hour shifts.
And what's about the Reed connection?
Oh, yeah. Apparently, one of Harry Reid's sons represents a Chinese green energy firm that wants to build a solar farm and wanted at least a large chunk of, if not all, of Clive Bundy's land. And that, and the fact that the Bureau of Land Management had to retreat is why Dirty Harry Reid, referred to those same patriots that are maintaining the watch on Casa Bundy as domestic terrorists.
Well, so we don't want his cattle grazing out there because of a green reptile, but the green reptile isn't a bunch of turtles. It's a bunch of solar
and
green.
They didn't return all of Bundy's cattle either. They killed quite a few of them.
Well, what's the point of being a senator if you can't help your son out?
Oh, boy. All right. What's wrong with
you? I wonder if the people of Nevada have recognized the damage that the 17th Amendment has caused.
Well, no. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well said.
Well, you know what? This does set a precedent, though. The federal government's going to think twice now because we were willing to stand up. And I applaud all of those people that were out there. Story number four, Boston Marathon backpacks. Was it a test? Are they just trying to see if we jump higher, or what's going on here, Jasmine?
Well, I don't know. All I know is that the story was there were two suspicious backpacks.
Yeah, but it turned out not to be a big deal, though, right?
Well, at least these backpacks didn't explode.
Yeah. Hmm.
But it's apparently becoming a Beantown tradition.
Story number three, Ukraine heat. What's going on in the Ukraine right now is basically the same thing Hitler did in Czechoslovakia, to be honest with you. But now, with the weakness of our president, the Neville Chamberlain-listic style of his, we even got Russian fighters buzzing U.S. Navy ships. They're not afraid. They're not nervous. They're just coming right by. On top of that, a story that you had put on Political Pistachio, which I actually used this link for story number three and two. It's very interesting. Ukrainian Jews told to register or be expulsed. Comparisons are getting deep here.
See, part of the tactics that Putin is using to justify invading eastern Ukraine is that he's got so-called pro-Russian Ukrainian groups who are taking over in some of these eastern Ukrainian cities. One of them is Donetsk, and the local prince of Donetsk issued a requirement, a local ordinance, requiring all Jews who live in Donetsk, that's 17,000 out of 4.3 million, to register their identity, their address, all their personal assets, a list, take an inventory of all their personal assets, or they will be deported. Now, of course, if they register, they can probably be deported anyway, and I don't even know where they'd be deported to. I mean, Western Ukraine?
The comparisons to Hitler are getting more and more interesting because he's like following the script kind of pretty closely, isn't he?
Yeah, it sure looks like it. They didn't mention anything about armbands or yellow stars on their lapels.
No. They're saving that for the Tea Party people in America.
One of the things that's not emphasized in our schools is that at the time of Stalin's death, he had already developed a pogrom against the Jews and was parlaying that into an actual Holocaust. He was killing Jews. He was grabbing them. He was putting them in gulags. He had the whole thing going when he died in 1953. So for Putin to pick up that mantle is just as natural as a chicken's eating corn.
Yeah, did you have something to Mobley quickly, please?
Yeah, real quick. I think people have got this all wrong. Actually, behind Obama, I think Putin is Israel's number two ally. Sarcastically, go ahead.
That explains the look. Number two, rise of anti-Semitism. What was this about? Multiple shootings at a Jewish center? What city was this at?
It was in Overland Park, Kansas. Somebody named, Frazier Glenn Miller, also known as Frazier Cross, and he's a white supremacist and big anti-Semite, and you never find in any of the media stories that he's also a lifelong Democrat.
So we've got the German talking about anti-Semitism regarding a Democrat. Story number one, Easter.
That's right.
This is Easter weekend, my friends. Of course, it's the first story. It's the most, it's the best story, and we'll talk about it again next week in more detail. But I did want to throw something out there, and I'm going to give you the headline only. Now Muslim parents are complaining about flyers for Easter egg hunts.
It's in Dearborn, Michigan, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, well, what a surprise.
Dearbornistan, yeah.
Oh, okay. Folks, happy Easter. Enjoy your Easter tomorrow. Remember the reason for Easter. You know, our Lord resurrected after 3 days. Alex.
I'm awful tired of hearing the news people call Nazis right wing. It ain't so.
I am, too. I am, too. Only because Hitler says he's the opposite of communism. What's your website?
ConservativeCanonade.org.
And Mr. Mobley?
MobiusStripPress.com.
Mr. Jasmius?
BlogTalkRadio.com/HSRNetwork. Hard Starboard Radio, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday.
United we stand, combined we kick butt. God bless America and God bless you. We'll see you over at PoliticalPistachio.com and next week right here on Constitution Radio.
On board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Chris Earl Phillips. For this afternoon, gradual clearing and a high of 81. Tonight, patchy fog after 11. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low around 57. Tomorrow, patchy fog before 11. Sunny and a high of 87. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, low of 59. Heading into the work week, we started on Monday with sunny skies and a high of 87. Monday night, patchy fog after 11. Mostly cloudy, low of 56. On Tuesday, patchy fog before 11. Mostly cloudy, gradually becoming sunny with a high of 76. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
This is Dick from Carpet Masters. Carpet Masters has been serving the Inland Empire for over 55 years. Carpet Masters uses extraction cleaning for your carpet because there's no better cleaning to remove the soil from your carpet. All of our furniture cleaning is done by hand in your home or in our plant. Carpet Masters also offers dry cleaning for fine furniture. Call Carpet Masters at 793-7215. That's 793-7215 for Carpet Masters.
In Frank Baum's novel, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, the wizard turns out to be a phony. Just an old guy sitting behind a curtain, using his booming voice to spew nonsense in a vain effort to fool people. But now, a century after Baum's fictional Oz, a real-life incarnation of the phony wizard has been discovered, hiding behind not one, but two curtains. He's recently been booming out.